What's up, guys? Welcome back to another daily Bible reading snapshot. Today we're looking at 1 Samuel 13 and 14, where we see how Saul does some good things for the Lord, and Saul also does some bad things. So what we see here in chapter 13 is Saul is like the guy at this point, and the beginning of this chapter starts with a weird verse. It's a textual variant, which means we're not quite sure what the original text said. If you look in your Bible, it might say different things. Mine says Saul was ... years old when he began to reign. And he reigned ... and 2 years over Israel. So don't know what this means. We don't have the original manuscript, so we're not quite sure. Some people try to fill in the blank. Some manuscripts say 1 year old, but we are confident Saul was not 1 year old when he began to reign, because we saw how he was an adult when he began to reign. So not quite sure about that. But what we see here is that Saul is fighting against the Philistines. And what we see in chapter 14 is Jonathan joins in that fight too, his son, Jonathan, and he actually ends up being a hero. But in chapter 13, Saul is not quite the hero that he needs to be, because he wants to sacrifice to the Lord when he shouldn't, which was a thing that you're supposed to do before they went into battle. And Saul was like, "Where's Samuel? I don't see any priest here. I guess I'm going to do the sacrifice myself." And when he does the sacrifice himself, God says that was exactly the opposite thing that you should have done. You should have waited for Samuel. Really, God says you should have waited for me. And because Samuel sees all this and knows that Saul is not listening to him, he says, God is now seeking a new person to be king, and it's not you anymore. He's seeking a man to be king who's after his heart, a man after God's own heart. That's a phrase we know about David. We see it first show up right here in 1 Samuel 13. So in chapter 14, like I said, Jonathan joins the fight. And when he does, he leads these Israelites on this amazing conquest, this amazing battle. And it starts with Jonathan and his armor bearer, so just two guys, climbing a cliff and killing all these Philistines. He is an intense action hero. Jonathan is amazing. And what we see here is he starts this battle, and then what happens next is the whole Israelite force joins in on this battle, and they start pushing the Philistines back. And Saul makes a promise that he should not have made. Saul makes a promise that he says, hey, nobody in this camp of Israel, none of you get to eat until we're totally got all of our revenge on the Philistines. Jonathan was not there for that promise, so he doesn't know. Jonathan eats some honey that day. He gets a little strength from that. And at the end of the day, Saul tries to talk to God and he doesn't hear a response. God doesn't speak back. And because God doesn't answer, Saul knows that there must be sin in the camp. He finds out that it's in his own family. And he says to Jonathan, what did you do? And Jonathan says, I ate some food. You shouldn't have made that dumb promise. That was bad for the Israelites. And Saul says, well, you're going to die now, Jonathan. And Jonathan said, okay, I guess I am going to die. Problem was, the people of Israel were not having that. The men of Israel, these soldiers, said, no. Jonathan is the hero. He's the one who started this fight. He's the one that's defeating the Philistines. He's not going to die today. So it says that he ransomed the people of Israel, or the people of Israel ransomed Jonathan. And we're not quite sure what that means, but it might mean that someone from the Israelites said, I will die in Jonathan's place. That might be what it means. Maybe it just means they asked God for forgiveness. Maybe it means that they paid some fine. We're not sure. But what we think it probably means is someone stood up and said, I'm going to die in his place, which is a helpful picture of what the ransom of Jesus looks like in the New Testament. He gives his life in our place. He ransoms us by giving his life in our place. So that's 1 Samuel. A lot of big topics in 1 Samuel. But we see how Saul really starts to fall and Jonathan starts to do even better because he is trusting the Lord where Saul didn't. So that's what we look at in the Old Testament. Today we're starting Luke 14 in the New Testament. And what we see is Jesus continuing to do things on the Sabbath, which annoys the religious elite. It annoys them because they're like, shouldn't you know you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath? And Jesus says, I'm doing something good on the Sabbath. You would save your ox on the Sabbath. You would save your donkey on the Sabbath if it got in trouble. I'm just saving people on the Sabbath. That's fine. So Jesus says that. And then he talks about how he tells two parables about two parties, which you don't want to get these two confused. They're right next to each other, so some people getting confused. The first one is the parable of the wedding feast. And in this feast, Jesus says that in this feast, there's these people who always want to sit at the front of the table. They always want the best seat. They're always trying to be more popular and more famous. And Jesus says, you know what? You should put yourself last. And if you put yourself last, guess what happens? The master of the feast will say, oh, you need to sit up somewhere nicer. You're sitting too low. Sit closer to the front of the table. Sit in the place of honor. Instead of having to be told, you know what, you should sit down there because you actually don't deserve this honor. So what he says here at the end is everyone who humbles himself will be exalted. But if you exalt yourself, if you're going to be a person who puts yourself first, you will be humbled. And then the next party, we see it's the great banquet or this wedding feast banquet that we have happen here. And it says that there was a party invite that went out to all these people. And the first group of invitees or whatever you call them, people who get invited, they reject the invite. They say, I'm not going to that party. I've got a million other things to do. I can't go to your banquet. Sorry. And then the master of the house says, let's fill this banquet hall. We'll get anybody from off the streets. We'll get them anywhere. They need to all be called in to be a part of this feast. And this feast, I think, is a picture of the kingdom of God. And the thing is, these religious elite people thought that they're the only ones that deserve to be there. But Jesus actually says, no, the invite has been sent out to you, but you've rejected the invite. These people, all these people who are lost, they want to be at this party. They want to be in the kingdom of God, and I'm going to let them be in the kingdom of God. And some of you who rejected the offer of salvation, you're not going to be allowed to be in anymore, which is a scary reminder for us. If we reject God's call for salvation, if we turn away and say we're not going to do it, we don't have a guarantee that God's going to call us to salvation again. What God wants is people to humbly come to his feast, so to speak. He wants them to humbly come to the kingdom of God and come through Jesus and say, I need you for salvation. I can't earn it myself. I'm not going to try to sit at the table of the kingdom of God on my own. I need you to make me ready to do that. And that's what happens when people become Christians. They turn to God. They say, I need forgiveness, and I need you to give me the righteousness that I need to be a part of your kingdom. And the amazing thing is the Bible promises that if we confess our sins, God is faithful to forgive us and to give us that righteousness of Christ so that we're ready to be in that banquet hall. So that's a helpful promise. And I hope that encourages you as you read that we want to be like these people who are humble and wanting to be a part of what God's doing, not pridefully and stubbornly rejecting God's will. So that's a helpful reminder. And I hope that we're like that too. So thanks for reading the Bible with us today. Let's make sure we're not like those stubborn people who push away God's word and push away God's message. We want to embrace it. We want to be humble about it. So today, I want to make sure that not only are you reading it, but also think about how you can apply what we just learned today. So we'll see you back tomorrow for another Daily Bible Reading Snapshot.